Hello, my name is Sipporah Weinberg. Welcome to Torah Simcha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. Today we will be studying Sefer Tehillim, Perek 45. Just as yesterday's Perek was laden with tears and the sadness of exile, and ends with a plea for the redemption, as sudden and as welcome as the Geula itself, Perek 45 focuses on the kingdom of the house of David, with the descriptions of love and joy as the redemption arrives. This recalls the vivid portrait painted by Reb Chaim Volozhiner, that as he is sitting and learning, and his wife is out shopping, the tailor's at his mending and the carpenter at his black, suddenly the sound of the shofar is heard, and out of the clear blue, the world is forever transformed. L'mnatzeach al shoshanim livnei korach maskil shir yedidos. For the conductor on Shoshanim of the sons of Korach, a maskil, a song of loves. A song of love and happiness, the Meshorer in the name of the sons of Korach that agonized over their plight in exile, is so inspired by the joy of the moment that he speaks words that seem to write themselves. Rachash libi davar tov, omer ani ma'asai lemelech, lishoni eit sofer mahir. My heart is astir with a pleasant theme. I say my works are for a king. My tongue is a pen of an expert scribe. And this perek now marks the change of direction. Where the previous three perekim dealt with exile and pain, we begin a song of Shoshanim, a song of loves, which serves as a bridge to the rest of the perekim through perek 50. It will deal with the kingdom of the house of David and the redemption. And who are these loves, these Shoshanim? According to Rashi, these are the Talmidei Chachamim, the learned, the Torah scholars who are soft and generous of heart and deed, just as roses. Reminding us of the verse in Shir HaShirim, Parak 6, the second Pasuk, Dodi arad legano la'arugos habosem, lir'os baganim v'lilkot shoshanim. This Pasuk describes the presence of Hashem going down to the garden, to the fragrant field to gather roses. Only there, Rashi explains that the roses symbolize all of Klal Yisrael that are a rose among thorns. While Rashi here explains that this entire perek describes the wonderful qualities of Talmidei Chachamim, Shoshanim, those deeply learned in Torah, we will follow the path of Radak, Meiri, Ibn Ezra, and other Rishonim who interpreted this perek as describing Melech HaMashiach, the Anointed One, the King, and the redemption that he effects. Some of the psukim here are so beautiful they don't need any interpretation at all, just an invocation of the words. Yaf yafisa mibnei adam, hutzak chen besifsosecha, al kein berachacha elokim liolam. You are more handsome than other men. Charm is poured into your lips. Therefore Hashem blessed you forever. Chagor charbacha al yarech gibar, hodcha vahadarecha. Gird a sword on your thigh, O mighty one, your majesty and your glory. But in spite of your strength, and in spite of your bravery, your true glory is your adherence to the words of truth, your humility of spirit. V'hadarcha tzelach rechav al devar emes, v'anva tzedek, v'sarcha nara'os yiminecha. Your glory is that you will pass and ride for the sake of truth and righteous humility, and it shall instruct you so that your right hand will perform awesome things. Chitzecha shinunim, amim tachtecha yiplu, b'lev oivei hamelech. Your arrows are sharpened, and nations will fall under you in the heart of the king's enemies. It then follows that because your arrows are sharpened, the nations will fall under you. But then when you achieve power, your scepter is straight, meaning you are righteous in your judgments and rulings, and therefore Hashem chose you and your kingdom for eternal sovereignty. Kisacha lokim olam va'ed, shevet mishar, shevet malchusecha. Ahavta tzedek vatisna resha, al kein meshachacha elokim elokecha, shemen sason mechaverecha. You loved righteousness and you hated wickedness, and that's why Hashem, your Hashem, anointed you with oil of joy from among your peers, all characteristics of why Mashiach is who he is. Morva ahalos ketzios kol bigdosecha, min hechaleshein, mini simchucha. A potpourri of fragrant incense radiate from your garments and your palatial chambers that are prepared for you are made of the finest materials, more precious than ivory. Of course, this outward splendor references the abundance that Hashem will shower onto the Mashiach. He will be blessed in every aspect and he will lack nothing. Myrrh and aloe and cassia are all your garments, more than ivory palaces. Benos malachim bikrosecha, nitzva shegal imincha b'chesem ofir. Princesses from all over the world will come in your honor, and when the queen stands at your side, laden with golden jewelry from the land of Ophir, this is a reference to all of the Klal Yisrael that will be as honored as an honored queen compared to the other nations. Within Jewish thought, there is a place to yearn for kingdom, for majesty. As the directive states, Som tasim alecha melech, you shall appoint yourself a king to be your just ruler. And within Jewish thought, this ruler is not an abject monarch, or even a very talented leader who can manage and organize brilliantly and fend for the needs of his populace as a president or a prime minister might do today. On the contrary, the biblical king is one whose heart is the heart of his nation, at one in purpose, at one in mission and intent. That is how the Rambam, Maimonides, describes the king in his halachic treatment of the subject in Hilchos Melachim. Just as every limb of the body is dependent upon the heart's vitality as it sources and resources the energy necessary for life, so too the king, and specifically the future King Mashiach, our Redeemer, is connected to each and every Jew, feeling our needs and powering our service to Hashem. We can observe this unity through the relationship of Moshe and Bnei Yisrael, that when Moshe expressed his doubts when Hashem sent him to reveal the future redemption and the freedom of Bnei Yisrael from exile in Egypt, saying, "Vehein lo ya'aminu bi, they won't believe me," he wasn't coming to place blame on Klal Yisrael. He was elucidating the status quo. Bnei Yisrael won't believe me, because if they'd be ready to hear the message I come to bring, I would feel that level of belief in my heart. But sadly, I don't feel that within me, so I know they're not there yet. That's true connection, a heightened sensitivity to the point of synchronicity between leader and Klal. And their highs and lows correspond as well. When Klal Yisrael sinned at the Egel, Hashem told Moshe, "Lech red, go down. You too experience a fall from grace, Kavyachal, because of the actions of the nation." But when the Klal ascends, so too do you. And this is what the Pasuk is saying, Yaf Yafisa mi b'nei Adam. You are the most beautiful, mi b'nei Adam, from the strength of the people. The beauty of the Mashiach is powered by his connection to Klal Yisrael. All of their strengths are collectively sourced within him. He is the heart of Klal Yisrael, and he expresses in his being its potential, its grandeur, its strength. After this lofty description of Mashiach, the Meshorer turns his focus on Am Yisrael with a directive. Shim ibas uri'i v'hati aznech v'shichichi amech uve'savich. Hearken, daughter, and see, and incline your ear, and forget your people and your father's house. Here the Meshorer describes Klal Yisrael as a group into the singular persona of a daughter on the verge of being chosen by the king. Just as your forefather Avram left his nation, his land, his family, and only sought after Hashem, so much so that you forget everything else in your life, you will do the same and stand before Hashem. V'yis'av ha-melech yafyech ki hu Adonayech v'yishtachavilo. The king shall desire your beauty, for he is your master, and you will bow down to him. Where else in the Torah have such words been written? Maybe we can find parallels in Shir HaShirim, where Hashem yearns for the beauty of Klal Yisrael at the moment when we recognize that he is our master and we bow to him. But look around. Where are we right now? We are immersed in a world, in our world, far from heaven. We are occupied with accomplishing our goals to achieve what this world has to offer. We invest our minds and hearts, and most of the time, in pursuit of worldly missions. But if we would only remember that Hashem chose us, he wants us, and we could shake everything else off and stand before him as a collective and show our obeisance. Because the secret is, there is a magnificence that is untouchable, a wholeness, a completion that can never be marred. We tap into this in a small prayer said before we do a mitzvah such as Sfiras HaOmer or drinking the four cups of wine on Leil HaSeder. L'shem yichud kodesh b'richu u'shchinte. And it ends with the words B'shem kol Yisrael, in the name of all of Yisrael. And the Noam Elimelech, Rabbi Elimelech of Lezhensk, explains that an individual may be flawed, may sin, and may therefore be unworthy of performing a mitzvah as it should be done. And that's why right before we do a mitzvah, we say these words, B'shem kol Yisrael, because if a person is a part of Klal Yisrael, something mystical occurs. The components might be faulty, but the whole remains pristine, pure, perfect. So the goal is to join with the klal so that we together can perform this mitzvah completely. This is especially palpable on Yom Kippur, at the prayer of Kol Nidre. It's the one moment in the year when everyone wants to gather together with other Jews, even those who live lives largely disconnected from Judaism the entire year. But if we think about it, what's so special about Kol Nidre? It's a public annulment of our vows, and kind of preparation that we shouldn't enter into the Day of Atonement with outstanding debts. How did this prayer achieve the status of the holiest moment of all? The Nesiv HaShalom poses this question and brings an anecdote from the Gemara, Maseches Nedarim. It is a story of someone who vowed to never be connected in any beneficial relationship to his niece. He was supposed to marry her, but this man found her unattractive and swore never to be connected to her. So they brought her to the home of Rabbi Yishmael, and they beautified her. And Rabbi Yishmael saw to it that she received all the embellishments and adornments that she needed. And then they presented her to this young man, and Rabbi Yishmael asked, "Bini, lazu nadarta? My child, is this the one you forswore?" And he said, "No." And so Rabbi Yishmael annulled his vow. And at that moment, Rabbi Yishmael wept and said, "Benos Yisrael naos hein, ela shehaanios minavaltan." The daughters of the Jewish people are beautiful. It is just that their poverty disfigures them. Nesiv HaShalom explains that the tears of Rabbi Yishmael be'osa sha'a at that moment were not only for the story of this young girl. Rather, before his eyes, he saw the tragedy of all of Klal Yisrael when they appear distant to Hashem, when they appear forlorn and degraded. There are instances in the year that Klal Yisrael can stand before Hashem in the full bloom of their beauty, like the night of Yom Kippur. And we ask Hashem then, "Lazu nadarta? Is this the one you forswore?" The beauty of our connection is reawakened, and any outstanding debts and distance that separated us from Hashem are annulled. The purity of our unity makes us beautiful to Him again. This parak is teaching us what will happen in the times of Mashiach, the revelation of the connection that was sorely tested in the previous prakim of Bnei Korach, and the threat of being swallowed up by the world and all that it represents. And in contrast to that, the unveiling of the inner connection that was there between Klal Yisrael and Hashem all along. And when that happens, and all the world will submit and pay homage in light of the magnitude of this connection, those that mocked and derided us just yesterday will bear gifts just to see our face. Kol kevuda bas melech pinima mimishpitzos zahav levusha. All honor awaits the king's daughter who is within. Her raiments are superior to the settings of gold. Knesset Yisrael, that until now behaved with internality, with modesty, is now going to be honored with garments more treasured than settings of gold. L'rikamos tuva l'melech b'sulosach areha re'oseha muva'os lach. Just as she and her maidens will be brought to you in proud possession and dressed in her finery, so too tuvana b'smachos vagil tivoena v'heichal melech. Knesset Yisrael will be brought with joy and exultation. They shall come forth into the king's palace. In the future, with Mashiach, all the nations will see the special relationship that Bnei Yisrael have with Hashem when they come back to Him in splendor and pride. And the perek ends, Tachas avosecha yihyu vanecha, tishisemo l'sarim b'chol ha'aretz. Instead of your forefathers will be your sons. You shall appoint them as princes throughout the land. And this is the hope of every Jew, that even if their fathers, even if previous generations did not merit the redemption, their children definitely will merit to see it very soon. As kira shimcha b'chol dar v'dar, al kein amim yehoducha le'olam va'ed. I will mention your name in every generation, and therefore people shall thank you forever and ever. We will never give up. We will never stop speaking your name until we live to see that eternal day. May it arrive swiftly in our days. Thank you for studying together Le'iloi Nishmas Malka Esther Bas Tzvi Yosef.